Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 552, the Halo Master Race, recorded live on September 15th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and we have a little bit of a roster change-up tonight since Godzilla T was unable to be with us due to family issues. But we have another staff member that we've actually brought on recently, which we haven't had on the show yet. So it's about time to introduce our one of our newest additions to the Podtacular crew here, and that would be South, who is our web developer. So welcome to the podcast.
Well, appreciate it. It's been a while since I've been on a podcast, so this feels kind of weird, but definitely glad to be part of Podtacular and helping out with that website.
Yeah, so he is on to help us out with getting us basically do a relaunch of the site, revamp the site, and get everything kind of feel good with some new updated web styles, because right now the template that we're using was created by our former webmaster, Captain Kronk, and it's been there since, I believe, 2009, 2010. So we're a bit outdated, I think. Just maybe a little bit.
It happens.
Yeah.
That will change.
Yes, it will change.
It will look pretty.
We had a brainstorming session during PAX, and that is going to be one of several brainstorming sessions that we will have in the coming months. And hopefully have a relaunch here within the next few months as well. But we decided to have South on since he was available, and we are trying to get some of our other staff on as well. So we had Vin on for our last podcast, who is our latest addition to our community content, or not community content, just content creator side of things. So he's been writing some blog posts that you guys may have seen. So big thanks to him, and thanks to South for stepping up to help us on some website stuff. So as customary for our podcast, anytime we have a new guest on, we like to talk about their background, get a little more information about where you started with Halo and how you got involved with Halo and what you like about it and that kind of stuff. So, Mr. South, why don't you give us the rundown on how you first got interested in Halo?
All right. Well, it's basically it started with Halo 1. What happened was I moved up to Illinois from South Carolina. Basically all my friends were down in South Carolina where it's actually where I'm at now. But basically I met some kids at church. A kid was like, "Hey, come over and play video games with me." And I went over one weekend and they were playing this game on like there was like four of them, you know, just screaming at each other, playing this game, you know, shooting at each other. And I was like, "What the heck is this wonderfulness?" And then basically my buddy was like, here's a controller. By the way, it's inverted. Get used to it. Have fun. And ever since then, I've been just obsessed with Halo, and just I just love the community around Halo, just the craziness that happens. And that's basically how I got started, and just stuck with me. I mean, it's just been an important thing in my life, and just a lot of people I've met. And I think if it wasn't for the people I've met through Halo, I probably wouldn't have stuck with Halo as long as I have. And that's kind of the basic rundown of it. But
very cool. So is it one of those things that you like? I mean, I know at least for me growing up, having church and Halo kind of cross was kind of unusual. The whole like video gaming thing and like first person shooter specifically was a no-no. So how was that getting the Halo that way through church, and were you accepted by your peers?
Yeah, it was actually that's what it was. It was a bunch of kids from church playing Halo, and we actually ended up having like some LAN parties or whatever in the church. We had some like Halo LAN parties, Mech Assault LAN parties, and it was no one seemed to have any issues with it. So it was, I don't know. I guess it wasn't a big deal, I guess, but it was definitely, it was definitely like for me, it was like a new experience, because I went from like this weird time in my life where I was like playing. The last thing I really played was the Super Nintendo, and playing on Sega and everything. And I didn't have a Nintendo 64, and so I missed out on something like James Bond or 007, whatever it's called, and then I come, you know,
GoldenEye.
Yes, GoldenEye. There you go. Gosh, and
no worries.
And it was just a, I guess it was more of like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I haven't experienced anything like this before with video games. It's been jumping, you know, on the side of, you know, side scroller or whatever, and you know, and it's just it was just one of those experiences that it was almost like, it might sound, you know, kind of corny, but it was life changing for me as far as video games, and like that's, I've just stuck with first person shooters since then, and yeah,
very cool. So what was kind of the one aspect, I guess not necessarily was, but what is the one aspect that really draws you into Halo? Is it the multiplayer? Is it the community content? Is it the campaign? What's kind of that one go-to thing in Halo that really keeps you interested?
Honestly, I mean, I definitely enjoy the story. I definitely enjoy the campaign, and but it's the community and the multiplayer, just getting on with friends and, you know, just having a fun time. Like I'm not like a tryhard, or, you know, I'm not that great at Halo. You know, I couldn't play in esports, and, you know, if I wanted to, but it's that's really what I like, is just the community, and, you know, like especially like after going to PAX, like that's just like, you know, solidified that mindset of like the Halo community is awesome, and it's just it's a lot of it too is like the nostalgia, like that's what I did, you know, that was like kind of like my, you know, I moved to Illinois, didn't have any friends, that's how I made friends with Halo, and we played Halo all the time. We you know, sat there and talked about all the rumors with Halo 2 and all this stuff, and, you know, it's just, and then ended up actually moving to Arizona, and that's how I stayed connected with some of my friends back in Illinois, was Xbox Live. And so that's, for me, that's just been one of the coolest things, is the multiplayer and just being able to stay connected with friends like that.
And now you're here with us. How'd you fall into that?
Just kidding. I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. So, well, thank you for giving us a little rundown of your background in Halo. We are happy to have you on board. And thank you for lending us your talent and helping us with the website. We really appreciate it. And it's been long overdue, for certain. So happy to have someone that's actually on board to get that going. All right. So on to some of the content news. We've had a pretty big update since we've last talked. I was actually supposed to get the previous podcast out before I left for PAX, but kind of forgot to upload it. And you can't exactly post a podcast if you haven't uploaded it. It was done, just wasn't uploaded. So I uploaded it when I got back. But since then, we had PAX, which we'll have a podcast on that this weekend with South again. And we'll have also Toa Freak and Kenny, or Spartacat, since it was all three of their first time at PAX. So get kind of the fresh feel of the experience. And then we have another special thing that I recorded tonight. So a little taste of what's going to be coming and hopefully can fit in with the theme for next week is we got to interview Miles Luna from Rooster Teeth. So I'm going to try to wrap that into a Machinima show, which hopefully I can grab some people for on next week's show, which would be really cool. And yeah, so lots of cool little things coming up down the pipe for us here. But let's talk about some of the cool stuff that came out while we were away. So big thing, obviously, was Halo 5 Forge on Windows 10. Big update. I think people are going nuts over this. I think I've seen more tweets about custom content on Halo than I've ever seen before. It's just crazy the amount of content that's getting generated right now, and it's an awesome feeling to have that kind of development back in the community side of things, whether it's the prefabs now, which are brand new to the content system, having the content browser, which is actually usable for a change, being able to actually search stuff and have a favorites and all that stuff is super awesome, being able to go in and play on 4K resolution on PC and being able to use both keyboard and mouse or controller if that's your thing on PC. And just everything with this update is huge. It's a giant, like, thank you to the community. And it's one of those things that it's really hard to like grasp at. The content that came out after their guaranteed content is the largest content update for Halo 5. And if you think about it, any Halo game ever, I mean, free content on PC, like you basically get the multiplayer aspect of Halo for free on PC. And then you have, obviously, there's the new Warzone Assault map. There's the new multiplayer map, which is a remake of Haven. And you have new Rex. Yeah, Mercy. The map's called Mercy. You have the new Rex. And just everything in here is ridiculous. It's so awesome.
No, it's great. Like I could sit and look around in Mercy for like hours if I really wanted to. It's just really well done. And you know, the like Forge, you know, I'm able to run it on my PC and it runs pretty well. I mean, I don't have a really high end PC, but it does a great job. And just, you know, I have never really been big into Forge, but I've always really appreciated the stuff that people are able to do. It just blows my mind. And especially with it being on PC, I think we're going to see a ton more creations that, you know, it's just, you're going to get to see a lot of that Minecraft crowd come in too and just make things. And I definitely see it growing. And hopefully this means more Halo comes to PC. By the way, that's the one thing I'm really hoping that happens, because I want to see it. I want to see the Halo community grow even more, and being able to just have Forge and just the multiplayer aspect. The fact that I could jump in with friends on my PC, and we could jump into Discord or whatever, the Xbox app, and, you know, play Halo like it's, you know, we're on our Xbox. But, you know, if you wanted to, you could run it at 4K in that 4K. It looks amazing.
I know, it's so great. And one of the things that I really hope too, at some point, I mean, this is just a personal thing though, but and I think it would work well for just custom games, but cross platform between Windows 10 and Xbox One.
Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting to see how they would work that out. I'm assuming they would probably try to put some handicaps or something on the PC, or not handicaps, but like caps, like as frames per second, so like that. I would think. I don't know. But that would be cool to see more cross-platform stuff. And I think, because right now, especially with the, you know, the Play Anywhere stuff, like there are limits in some things, like with what they're doing with Gears of War. You know, you could do co-op, but you can't do multiplayer. And I think that's how they're doing it. So it should be interesting to see how they, but that would be cool. You know, if they did release, say, Halo 6 on PC and Xbox One as a Play Anywhere app or game, I'm assuming they would, but, you know, if they did, it'd be interesting to see the, you know, what they would do to actually be able to have that cross platform play and interaction and everything.
I don't know. I think I don't even think we would have to necessarily wait for Halo 6. And there's a part of me that thinks that for Halo 6 is going to be something that they're not going to really push cross platform, because Halo is kind of the flagship title for the Xbox, or one of the exclusive titles for Xbox. So it's probably something that they'll just keep on focusing on that, or at least I would imagine that's how it would go. But at least because there's not matchmaking in this, and it's strictly Forge and customs, I think being able to do cross platform would kind of be interesting, and kind of be a cool thing to do, because then you could just have you're ginning up a map in Forge, and then maybe you want to have people that maybe only have the Xbox come in and test the map instead of having to upload and then go over to your Xbox and, hey, come test with me and just do everything on PC. But that's just a small hope of mine that it'd be cool if it was there type of thing. But Forge is insane. Got to try it during PAX a little bit, so I haven't had actually a chance to get my hands on it personally. I know there's a lot of Forgers out there that have been creating a bunch of content with it. I don't know, how does it feel for you?
I like it. I mean, it's always been weird for me to jump on a PC and try to, you know, it was really weird at first. I'm like, what do I do with my hands? You know, like, I've always, you know, always just used a controller, and you know, I've played PC games, but for first person shooters, I've always used a controller, whether on console or on PC. And I decided to, you know, suck it up and try to use my mouse and keyboard. And I do see where that might end up causing an issue. And as far as like the cross platform, you know, because like, I was able to use my mouse and have a lot more precision with that than I was with, you know, I'm able to with the, you know, the controller. But it should definitely be interesting to see. I mean, I love the way that it feels. But yeah, it's like, it definitely, because you're able to up the shadows and things like that, like you can on other PC games. So it looks better on my PC than it does on my Xbox right now. So we'll see. We'll see how it, but I love it. Like I haven't got to actually jump into many multiplayer games. Like I've jumped in a game with Haas and we were just messing around with it and everything. And it's, I could definitely see, you know, the PC crowd picking it up and really just having fun with it.
That's awesome. I'm hoping at some point I'm not as busy so I can actually have a life with friends on in real life and actually on Xbox. But to be able to get in there and actually maybe do some of the game nights on PC. And another thing I've been kind of toying around with too ever since they, or I guess since it's been a lot more closer and actually going to PAX, is longtime fans of this show will know that we've been pretty close with a Machinima group called The Spartan Life, and they used to do something. It was more Machinima and pre-recorded, but where they would be doing an actual scene while people were playing in the background. So I'm thinking about doing something along the lines of just kind of popping Forge up on PC or Customs, and then just having like people come in and play Customs while we do the podcast, and that will be the background of the stream.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I think it would be. Just have to put the invulnerability on me so it doesn't just keep on dying all the time. But I mean, I was just kind of thinking that would be something that would be cool. And I mean, imagine with that too, being able to do Machinima in 4K. I mean, that's another crazy notion and thought of like, there's a lot of opportunities with this, and screenshots will benefit from it. Machinima will benefit from it. And I'm guessing game DVR clips would benefit from it, because I think right now on the Xbox they're just 720p, but I'm guessing if you have a high enough end PC you can get game DVR clips that would be higher quality. I don't know how that works on PC because I've never actually tried it.
Yeah, I haven't tried it either, but yeah, like I definitely see it opening up a lot more for, you know, like it definitely seems like this was kind of like, hey, you know, we made this thing and you can do a lot of cool things with it. So here, have it for free and, you know, make some awesome stuff. And I think it's good that, like you're saying, like it's definitely going to open up to, you know, being able to have the 4K Machinima and stuff like that. Like, you know, it's, I don't know. I'm pretty excited to see what the community does and, you know, what they create and just the, you know, the fun that people have with it. I mean, it's maybe, yeah, it'll be awesome just to jump in and, you know, even though I suck at playing FPS games on my computer, just jumping in with people and having fun. And it's a little bit different experience. It's to me, it's a little bit different than playing on the console, but I don't know. It's just cool. You know, it's really cool that they brought it and it's just like, here, have it for free, do what you want, you know, and they don't, you know, they didn't charge us for it or anything like that. And I think that was one of the coolest things they could have done. And I think at the same time, it's like, hey, you know, like 343 maybe like, hey, let's see if this works on PC, or not that it works on PC, but like if we can grow a community behind it on PC, like if we can grab those people that don't have an Xbox, and then, you know, with future releases and future updates and things like that, you know, they would be more intrigued to get it. So I definitely see it totally allowing it to grow in ways that it hasn't been able to. And there's a lot that I think we should we'll be seeing here in the near future, and especially like the way that they're, I know it's a little bit off topic of Forge, but like with the Halo app they just launched as well, you know, it's, you know, it's integrating with, you know, these Halo, like I was watching the HCS stuff on there last night. And you can just pop in there and watch it. And, you know, it has the Twitch stream in there already. And, you know, I think it's cool that they're trying to do like a central hub for everything Halo. And which I go to open up the app and it crashes on me. But,
oh, no.
But so it should sucks. Be interesting. Oh, yeah. There it goes again. Oh, well. So much for that.
Anyways. I have mine running just fine.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, like you have the Spartan Assault stuff in there. So hopefully as Halo, the Halo universe and games and things like that grow, we'll see more pop up on there.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And we haven't even touched on the Halo app yet. I guess yours is crashing, which is kind of unfortunate. But the Halo app is kind of a neat new thing that actually really streamlines a lot of the content regarding Halo. And there's some different sections in here as far as the marketplace will obviously kind of be standard for a while. It's where you can get all of your games. So it only has like the latest versions of everything. So Forge, Halo Wars 2, Halo 5, Master Chief Collection, Spartan Strike, Assault, Halo Wars, and Halo Reach. It doesn't have Halo 3, which you could technically still buy for Xbox 360, but and ODST. But it has that on there. It also has a place there for esports, which actually has the Twitch stream embedded in there, which I would guess, I would assume that they would probably start doing the Beam stream because Microsoft just bought Beam. And then there's a Forge section in there, which has some tutorials and showcase videos and some other content in there. So they have like a most liked section of game modes, maps, that kind of stuff. There's a tab in there for Halo Wars 2 that you can pre-order, and it'll probably change over to some kind of content portal for that whenever the game releases, and then Spartan Strike and Spartan Assault. So every game will have its own tab, and then you have your main content, your home tab, which has right now it's just kind of the welcome to the app part, and then a couple other features on there.
Yeah, and like speaking of Beam, you know, I didn't really know about it until recently, and especially if they integrate Beam with it, and like the way, from my understanding, the way that Beam works is, it's kind of like the example I read was, if, you know, if someone's playing what's that? Is it Surgeon Simulator or whatever it's called?
Simulator. Yeah.
Yeah. The viewers could control the fingers while the streamer controls the arms. So it'd be cool to see the kind of stuff that they could integrate, like say Halo or whatever, and like just Halo in general, whether it's Halo Wars or whatever, and allowing, you know, especially in Forge and like, you know, silly games that people make up and stuff, and just allowing the viewers to connect and, you know, mess with things. And it should be interesting, especially like if they, I know it's kind of a, you know, pipe dream, but it'd be cool if they integrated something like that into this, as far as being able to set up a Halo stream and everything through the Halo app using with Beam. Again, I've never used Beam. I don't know exactly how the ins and outs of it, but I think it'd be cool. I mean, just in general, that the Beam stuff seems like it's going to bring a lot of cool things to the Xbox ecosystem in general.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet either. I went over there and I believe I created an account, but I really haven't gone in and done anything with it yet. I think we'll try messing around with it a little bit. I'll mess around with it personally as kind of my own channel thing and see what it's like before maybe doing a podtacular version of it. But it is something that is kind of new out there, and it's a new platform. And there's some other kind of platform stuff that I've been thinking about as well, as far as where we put some of our content. But that's later down the road, much later down the road. It's something I think would be really cool to integrate. And one thing I'm kind of thinking of too is, do you remember when they used to use the Xbox Live event thing like a lot, and they had like the polls that you could vote in? Just thinking like they might extend Beam to do something similar, where you can like vote in polls or be able to like influence a game. Cause wasn't there one game that was based off of like someone being able to tweet a hashtag or something, and depending on like something that happened with that tweet, it made something happen in the game? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Anyone in the Twitch chat know what I'm talking about? Anyways, but just having that kind of interaction, like, I'm just thinking from a Halo perspective, maybe you could have during the 30-second intermission, the stream can vote for what round comes next.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah, because now the way, especially like with Twitch, you're kind of limited. Yet sometimes you have to, like with polls, you have to use like third party apps and stuff, and Yeah, it'd be cool. Like, it would be cool, like, especially with how Beam would work, I would think, at least, it'd be cool to, like, if they voted, it would automatically start setting that game type up or whatever it is that they voted on. Yeah, that'd be interesting to see how that something like that would work. That would be cool for stuff like tournaments and things like that, like people voting on what map to play next. And but yeah, my Halo app is still broken. I uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and it's still, oh well.
Dang you, Windows anniversary update.
Yeah, it's probably it was working like yesterday. It's probably because my computer updated last night, so that's probably what it is.
Oh, and yeah, you're on the fast track thing, so
yeah. Dang it, I had to screw myself up there.
That's when you need a second computer that's not on the fast track.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyways, that's a little side note. We haven't really talked about the prerequisites much about the Halo 5 Forge, but that is one of the prerequisites, is that you must have the Windows 10 anniversary update. I know that's kind of scary for some people, given the recent issues that have arisen from recent installs. And there's been a bunch of different news articles about the update and it destroying things, basically. So
it's scary. I mean, it's like we live in a time where you update something, you have to cross your fingers and hope nothing bad happens. Like apparently with iOS 10 coming out today, people on T-Mobile, some of them just lose cell service all of a sudden after updating. So it's definitely a time where it's like, you gotta cross your fingers and just hope for the best. And apparently I didn't get lucky this time with my computer updating.
Wah, wah. That's too bad. Dang. Life's rough. So yeah, there's so just kind of going over some of the system requirements for anyone who hasn't downloaded or tried to install it yet. So minimum version of stuff, I guess we'll go through that first. You need a graphics card that supports DirectX 12. You need a a CPU on the AMD side, at least the AMD FX 6350, or on the Intel side, an Intel Core, at least i5 at 2.3 gigahertz or higher. GPU, at least the AMD R7 260X, and on GPU, at least a GeForce 650 Ti. You need 2 gigs of visual RAM, 8 gigs of regular RAM, 40 gigs of hard drive space. It's a 37 gig install. And then at least need a monitor that is at least 1080p.
Man, imagine trying to play on like a old CRT monitor.
Yeah, right? You wouldn't be able to even see it. I mean, you're going back to the Halo 2 days, basically.
Yep.
So on the Ultra settings, DirectX 12 is pretty standard. You need 4 gigs of video RAM, 16 gigs of regular RAM. CPU needs to be an AMD FX 9370 or an Intel Core i7-4770K at 3.4 gigahertz, which I'm good because I have one at 4 gigahertz. GPU needs to be an AMD Radeon R9 Fury X or a GeForce 980 Ti. I have that graphics card, the NVIDIA one, which works for me. Hard drive, preferably solid state, obviously, and then a 4K screen. So pretty basic system requirements as far as stuff goes. You can, as long as you have a recently updated computer, you should be fine. The only kind of sticklers in that one is probably going to be the amount of visual RAM that you have, I would imagine, and maybe having that CPU that's up to snuff. But other than that, most, at least if you have a computer that's been built within the last 3 years, 2 years, you should be good to go.
Yeah, I've got, I only have 8 gigs of RAM, i5, and a GTX 970, and it runs fine. You know, if I boost everything up to, you know, the highest settings I can, it definitely gets choppy. But as far as, like, for the most part, I mean, I've got a lot of the settings up high, and some of the stuff like the shadows and stuff like that set to medium, and it does just, there's like no screen tearing or anything like that. Like it runs really well. And you know, I could definitely see there being issues if you don't meet those requirements, but even at the minimum specs, which I'm pretty much at the minimum specs. It still looks good. It still runs well. It's still 60 frames per second. And it's definitely, I can see, like I said, I can see where it would cause issues if you weren't at those minimum specs. But for what it is, and like it runs really well.
Yeah. Some people in the chat were saying that there's input lag.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't experienced that yet. Granted, I probably haven't spent more than a couple hours in it, but
I don't know. That might be just a persistent thing. And I know one of the things that Tom French was saying was they're still doing compatibility testing on some certain hardware configurations. So there's going to be a lot of different things that will probably get updated, optimized, fixed, that kind of stuff as the community starts to use it. And that was one of the things that when Forge first dropped was they were asking for people to kind of submit bug reports, as like sending in specs and being able to overall specify what their setup was. But it was one of those things that it's kind of really exciting whenever it works and runs smoothly. I know just using or watching the demo and then actually playing on the PC version, we actually South and I actually got to go to 343 and play on the PC version of it. And we got to play on Mercy. We got to play Super Fiesta, which is the one with the Rex. And I mean, for me, there was some jitter. There was some screen tearing. So there's definitely a little bit of work in terms of getting the game stabilized on the PC platform. And I think, I don't know if it was just part of the computer builds or what, but there's definitely some room for improvement. And I think there's just going to be something that they're going to eventually balance out across the board for PC. But I will say that getting back on PC felt really, really nice. It's been a while since I've played on mouse and keyboard. And I think the last time I actually played any kind of first-person shooter game was, I'll rewind a little bit. I played Titanfall for a little bit, but that was just kind of on my gaming laptop, and it was just kind of testing out how much I could stress an old laptop with something that was as high demanding as Titanfall. But the last thing I really was playing from a first-person shooter perspective was Team Fortress 2, and that game's been out for a long freaking time. I think it's like at least the early 2000s, maybe the mid 2000s. But it's just been a while since I've played on mouse and keyboard, and just it felt good to be back on it, but I am so out of practice.
Yeah, it's really, like I said, it's really weird for me because I've never really been, I've played a few things on PC as far as first person shooters, but I've always just find myself going back to the controller. I know I'm a peasant, a console peasant, but I love it.
Nice. Pins was saying that we did some Halo 2 PC game nights. I'll be honest, I used controllers for those. So, even though it was on the PC, I was not using mouse and keyboard. But I'm looking forward to getting back into mouse and keyboard on Halo, and I might be investing in a gaming mouse and keyboard here pretty soon.
It's worth it. I mean, just in general, like I got a mechanical keyboard and it made my life so much better.
Yeah. I've been seeing that Razer one that you can like customize with colors and everything. I saw it at E3, I saw it again at PAX, and I saw it at San Diego Comic-Con, and it's just one of those things that's like, why are you taunting me? You're $250. Why are you taunting me? It's so nice, but it's so unnecessary.
Yeah, all those lights. I mean, I've got like a Razer mouse and mouse pad that lights, both of them light up, but I got like just a regular mechanical keyboard with blue switches in it. And you can go a little crazy with that Razer stuff. I mean, just all the lights and customization you can do. It's cool. Definitely cool. But I don't know. I can't see myself spending that much on a keyboard.
Well, the big thing before that, at least that I'm aware of, was the Logitech G17, the one that had the little LCD display that you could customize depending on whatever games had plugins for it. That used to be the keyboard back in the day, was the G17. But now it's Razer's really coming in with the competition of having all that multicoloredness and having the macro keys and the mechanical keyboard aspect of it is just, it's very enticing, to say the least. And being able to color the keys specifically based on game and be able to remap keys, oh geez, it's a nice keyboard for $250. I'll just say that.
Oh yeah, it better be nice for $250.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I like Razer's stuff. I know it's, you know, it's the monster, like the Monster Energy drink of gaming stuff, but PC gaming stuff, in my opinion. But I like their stuff. I think some of the stuff is really well built, but some of the stuff at times is hit or miss. Like I've tried some things Razer-wise, I'm just like, ugh. But in general, I think they do a good job.
Right. And the first gaming mouse I had was actually a Razer mouse. It was the Razer Diamondback. It was the green one. Was it green one? Mm-hmm. The green one? No, it was the red one. But I got it from Woot when they had like one of those Woot sales for it.
Yeah, they went in here. Come across some pretty good deals with those at times. Like, just I've seen just a lot of times, you know, they're mice, and then during the holidays and stuff, they do some pretty good sales on their website as well.
Yeah, does anyone in here remember Woot? Or I guess better yet, does anyone still regularly use Woot? Woot.com. I'm just curious because it's one of those things that is. I mean, I don't hear much about it anymore, but it used to be one of those things that you really paid attention to back in the day, and you were waiting to see what kind of good deals were coming down with it.
I haven't touched Woot in a long time. I totally forgot about it.
Oh, aren't you glad that reminded you, and now you'll go check it out?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Well, yeah, they have a really cheap computer right now, $149. Definitely couldn't play Forge on that one, but
probably not. That's really cheap. That's dirt cheap. Okay.
we got to start a new thing called Wart.
Ah, funny.
I was like, oh, we call it funny. Wart, but that probably wouldn't be good.
It wouldn't wart. I'll walk myself out. Okay. Well, I think we've talked about Halo on PC enough already. We talked about the app. We talked about Forge. Content browser, we kind of touched on, but one of the big things with the content browser, obviously, is the prefabs. It was something that was supposed to come out with Forge originally, and they had issues getting it to work, but they finally got it to work. So you could get a prefab built and thrown up there and be able to download prefabs and load them into any map that you want, which is awesome. There have been some pretty cool prefabs that have been shown out on Twitter, and there are some ones in the content browser that have been highlighted and featured. And I guess for those who don't know what prefab is, for Halo 5, it's where you can go in, create an object, you can group the object together, and then you can export the thing that you created and merged out into its own separate file. And another thing that you can do with the content browser is you can take up to 5 screenshots, and then you can select one of those screenshots to be the thumbnail for your content piece. I think that works for maps, game modes, and, well, maybe not maps. I'm not sure. I know it works for prefabs. I think it works for game modes. Maybe it works for maps. I don't know. I haven't tried them yet.
Yeah, I haven't got to mess with them a lot myself. I've mostly what I've got to mess with. I mean, I've done obviously played since the update, but most of what I've played has been on just going into Warzone or whatever. But I'm loving the new what is it called? What's the claw? Berserk claw, whatever. Or the elite arm. Not the elite arm. Hunter arm.
Wait, you're talking about the weapons now?
Yeah, sorry. I know what I'm going on. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just like, wait a second, where are we going? I was like, okay, yeah. What is it called? I know what you're talking about, but I'm blanking on what it's called.
Berserker's Claw. Berserker's Claw and the Wicked Grasp.
Wicked Grasp. That was, yeah, okay. That's the Wicked Grasp was the one I was thinking of specifically. But yeah.
It's interesting that they brought those in. You know, it's cool that it's, you know, it's like you're using a hunter's arm as a weapon. I think that's really cool. It's different than what we've had for a while.
Well, it's cool that it just acts like a turret. I mean, we have the Promethean turret, the Splinter turret. We have the plasma turret. We have the UNSC chain gun turret, and it's just kind of cool that we have that in there now too. Just wait, we'll have the grunt mech. We'll have his needler thing in the turret or something.
I love the grunt mech. Gosh, I love him.
He takes so much damage, but it's hilarious to hear him.
Talk. Yeah. Just to see him like destroy people and just, you know, go ham on everyone. It's awesome. But when you finally kill him, it's pretty cool. This is actually one of my favorite bosses or whatever from Warzone Firefight is him, just because it's hilarious. The things that he says and just the way that, I mean, he shows no mercy.
No mercy, because there's mercy map. Huh?
Yep.
Anyways. So yeah, I guess since we're rolling into the rec section now, since we made that transition, Wicked Grasp and Berserker's Claw, two new rec weapons that you can unlock, and the Tactical Magnum, which looks awesome. I haven't unlocked it yet, but it looks sick.
That was actually one of the first things I did with Forge on PC, was just get the new weapons and throw them on the map and try them out. They're really fun.
Oh yeah, because you can forge all the rec weapons on PC. That's right.
Yep.
Forgot about that. I mean, it looks amazing. It looks like a scary magnum to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that one looks like it's worthy of having a 3-shot kill. Unless it is, and I just don't know.
I definitely look forward to, because I haven't gotten that rec yet, so I definitely look forward to getting it and actually trying it out in a game.
Yeah. So some of the other recs that are in here, there's the Indomitable Erod instead of the Indomitable Snowman. Or the Abominable Snowman, technically. Intruder Trespasser, which I've actually seen some tweets go up about no QCB in there. People wanting QCB back, which Intruder Trespasser is similar to. It's kind of more aerosoltish than QCB. But I've been seeing quite a few tweets about people wanting QCB back over the past week. So there's that. There's Wrath on Her. And then there's Vigilant Watcher. So there's four new helmet and armor mixes. Two new visors, Beltane and Ikor, which is basically like a snow white and a lime green visor. Then we have some COG sights for the AR, the BR, the DMR, and the SMG. There is another weapon mod. Do you know what that weapon mod is? The one with
the one with the Covenant scope or Smart Link or whatever.
Is that what? Well, no.
No, is that new? I can't remember if that was this update or not.
No. Well, okay. So here's the link to the thing, but it has the tiles on the wedge thing. If you scroll, anyways, then we have the Gunfighter Magnum, which is also looks ridiculously insane. There are two new weapon skins, Landgrave and Master Control. Master Control being like the Tron lighting style, which looks really cool.
And that was one that was done by the community, right?
Was it?
Well, let's see.
I don't know.
I spotted a post from Vito about a Neo skin concept. Okay, so there was a post about it originally about the concepts. Yeah, so it was on Reddit 7 months ago. So it was a concept that someone made.
That's cool. Wow.
So I hope to see more stuff like that happen, because that's the one thing I've really liked about what they've been doing with Halo 5 is like allowing a lot of the community to create really cool things, and I love that this was something that someone made up, and hey, it's in the game.
That's crazy. Wow. Okay, then. It's nice to see some other community content get into the game in different means. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks to Laird, the other icon is a sound dampener. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. You were saying mod. Never mind.
Weapon mod, weapon attachment, same thing. So yeah, Ergibu said it was inspired by the community by Vetoed. who's kind of been one of the bigger community people as of late, which is cool. Along with the recs that we got in this update, obviously the content browser, which we already discussed, and then Temple, which is the new Warzone Assault map, which is really fun. It's really difficult if you're attacking to get that first base. Well, actually, to get any of the bases, it's really difficult. But it's a lot of fun. I think this is probably the funnest Warzone Assault map for me personally.
I haven't actually got to play on that one yet, because I've mostly just been jumping into Firefight.
You didn't get to play the 3-for-3?
Oh, wait, never mind. I did. I take that back.
I was going to say.
Because I remember I almost didn't play it. Because I was like, okay, so much has happened. I just need to just sit back and watch people play for a minute. And then someone said, hey, come play this. I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, you get in playtime whenever you can. So, but yeah, Warzone, Assault Map, Temple, awesome stuff. I've actually only ever played Defense. I played it 3 times at 3-for-3, and then I played it once so far in matchmaking, and I've been on Defense every time. So, yeah, I think it's a fun map personally. But if you're on the attacking team, it's definitely a struggle. But if you can get the bases, it feels very rewarding. Or at least I assume it would. I haven't played on that side yet. Anyways, and then the arena map Mercy, which is based off of Haven from Halo 4, which actually plays pretty well. It's still a little interesting to get used to. I played it in SWAT a few times. It definitely feels a little different. I think that may just be me being out of practice of actually playing Halo and kind of not playing Halo for a week, being away at PAX. So I think that's probably part of it, but the map flow, even though the layout is pretty much exactly the same, the map flow is just a tad bit different, it seems. It doesn't seem like there are as many encounters in certain areas, especially in the middles, the open side. It feels like there's a little bit less activity over there than there was in the Halo 4 version.
Yeah, I agree. Like Penn said, he says it feels a little tighter, and I agree. And it could be that, and also just the fact that it's so beautiful that you're distracted.
That too. It is one of those really nice maps. I know one of the things that people had really griped about before or had issues with was the lack of Covenant maps. And being this added to the Covenant repertoire of maps, or the availability of maps, and having this be Covenant themed, they did a fantastic job with it. I really, really like this map.
Oh yeah, it's great. I love the elite hands, like the statue. It's really cool. I think the art team did a awesome job at designing that, and it's easily one. I mean, I really enjoyed that map in Halo 4, but I like how, yes, it's, you know, obviously it's based off of that, but it's I like how different it is at the same time. Like it's definitely not the same map, but it's still, you know, it does play differently and everything. But I really like it. I can definitely see myself doing a lot of custom games in that map.
Yeah, I could too. Lots of opportunities there. Anyways, there is also some new stuff that is not update related. I think we got through most of the update stuff. Let me check. Yes. Yeah, so that's all the stuff regarding the content update, but there's a few other things that has come out since then to discuss. One of which being some special rec packs that 343 has been issuing out. So as of late, they've done legendary weapon rec packs. So you could, or mythic level rec packs. So you can actually go and get these mythic level weapons and just buy them straight out. So they've had them. So far, they have them for the Spanker Prime, which just came out, I think, yesterday or today. Prophet's Bane, which was out a little bit earlier. And then Tardis's Gavel. So all those, you can buy the certification, and then you get, I believe, 12 rec cards to use for that weapon. And it's $10 per pack. So if you are maybe behind on Rex or want some of those mythic cards and you want to spend a little money, you can pay $10 to get the certification and 12 of those weapons. And they, if they're on the dashboard for Halo 5 Guardians, which they've been rotating them through, if you get 100,000 rec points, then you can buy the pack that way as well. And right now, I think it's just the Spanker Prime that's on Halo 5 Guardians. So if you missed out on TARDIS Gavel or the Prophet's Bane, you can still buy them at $10, but you can only get the Spanker Prime right now for 100,000 credits. Or not credits, rec points.
100,000.
Yep. All those special packs that they've offered in the past have been 100,000. Well, no, I take that back. The first one that was out there was 80,000, but these have been 100,000s.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them selling those? Like, what's your opinion on that?
If people want to spend money on buying them, then it's their call. Personally, I'm not gonna spend my money on that. I'll just unlock it when I can, because I've played the game enough to where I am 93% complete on unlocking everything that's not tied to a commendation.
Yeah, it's I don't mind them either. Like, I think I know I've seen some people kind of get upset about them, you know, that they're selling. I mean, I don't mind it. Like, it's in Warzone. I don't take Warzone serious. I just go in to have fun, whatever. And like you said, if people want to spend money on it, you know, more power to them. And I've definitely spent money on Rex before, but it's not something I see myself buying. But I don't know. I honestly don't think it's a bad thing for the community or anything. I don't think it's some people are trying to say it's a pay to win type thing, and I don't see that at all. Because anyone, if they really try hard enough, can get that unlocked. So
it's one of those things that has been, like you said, a point of contention in the community for a while, and because of the impact and of how it affects Warzone, I can see where it's like a detriment to that experience. I think we're far enough into the game now where it's not going to make nearly as much of an impact, but it's still an impact nonetheless. I think as for the most part, I'm not too worried about it at this point. I think having that experience is something that they'll probably refine for Halo 6, maybe do a little bit of user feedback on that. But it is what it is for now. It's not going to change that market for those that want to go into doing the whole microtransactions of buying that content. That's up to their leisure. I'm not overly concerned about it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not either. I've actually, since the beginning, I have actually liked the way that they've done it. I don't mind it. There's something, the rec packs and just rec packs in general, spending rec points to get a rec pack and opening it up. It reminds me of the Pokemon days where I open up a new pack and it's like, what am I going to get? And I've always enjoyed it. Honestly, I don't mind it at all. And I spent some money here and there, but it's cool. I don't mind it at all. So
cool. Yeah, I don't either. So yeah, there is some other news as well. Loot Crate came out technically this month. A lot of the loot crates got shipped in late August, but it was supposed to come out between the 1st and the 10th of September. So those have been out. I still need to do my unboxing video, and I have not unboxed mine yet because I've been waiting to do the video. But they announced the theme for the next month's loot crate, which is Battle for Earth. And they have a lot of ODST reference stuff in there. So that's going to be the theme for this next one. Again, if you are not familiar with Loot Crate for Halo, it's the Halo Legendary Crate, and it's a bi-monthly crate. So every other month, they will come out with a new crate and release it. If you were part of the Founders Pack and went with the full year subscription, getting 6 boxes, then you would have gotten a Founder's Pin for Fireteam Apollo in your crate. And for everyone that went over and used our promo code, thank you so much for doing that and spreading the word out. If you had not gotten in on the previous or the first crate, you can still do so for the second one. So any new subscription that you go towards getting a crate. So if you go over to lootcrate.com/podtacular, you can choose a subscription there. They come in a 2-month subscription or a 1-crate subscription, a 3-crate subscription, which is 6 months, and then a 6-crate subscription, which is the 12 months. You can do that by going to lootcrate.com/podtacular, and then when you check out, use the promo code podtacular and you'll get $3 off of your crate.
Yeah, and the next legendary figure is supposed to be Buck.
Ooh. That's nice. So Red versus Blue was the first one, and then Buck is the second one.
Yeah, they actually, I saw somewhere on Facebook, I saw a picture of it. It's Buck. He's actually got his helmet off. So it's, Nathan Fillion, his face.
Okay.
Yeah, should be interesting. I mean, it looks cool. Like the picture I saw was kind of tiny, but I like the figures. I mean, I know you said you haven't unboxed yours yet, but have you seen the legendary figures in person yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we were at the studio that makes Doc, so yes.
Yes.
Yes, I've seen them.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh yeah, never mind. That was a dumb question. But they're nice for what they are. Like, I mean, I could see them by themselves charging $15-$20 just for the figures. And they're really, I think they're, and I know it's the whole big head type thing, but I think they're cool. It's something we haven't really seen a lot of. I mean, I know we had the Halo Pop figures, but I definitely like it. I like that each one is supposed to be, based on the theme and everything, and it's going to be, should be cool to see what else they come out with. But it's going to be cool to have that Buck figure to add to the collection.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there's going to be 6 of those figures, so figure number 2 on the way. Yay! That's pretty much it for most of the news that's been going on with Halo. Again, we had the Anvil's Legacy update, which included Temple, Mercy, a whole bunch of new wrecks, and the content browser. We had Halo 5 on PC, which included the new Halo app and Halo 5 Forge. We have the new loot crate. We have the other thing I talked about. I forgot what it was. It's been a long week. It's been a really long week at work. My brain is pretty much fried at this point. But, oh yeah, the rec packs. That's what it was. Anyways, so we had all that this week. So thanks everyone for tuning in who decided to come on over. Oh, I guess one of the last thing that I forgot to mention, but Forza Horizon 3 has a Halo Warthog in it. For anyone who's a big racing fan, there was a little video that they put out about it. And so yeah, if you're a big Forza fan, you'd know that Halo 4 Warthog was in Forza Horizon, the last Forza Horizon game, I think, Forza Horizon 2. So that one was in there, and now there's the Civi Hog in Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah, I'm definitely buying that game, and I hate to admit, but once I saw that Warthog, I was like, okay, yeah, definitely getting it now. But the Pence brought up Optic Gaming signing CLG. That was definitely an interesting thing to find out.
Oh yeah, we'll have a follow up on that because there's a lot of competitive stuff that we should probably discuss at some point. And I'd like to get a competitive person on there to talk about it. But yeah, CLG is out of Halo now. The team that was part of CLG is now over at Optic Gaming. So I'm not sure what the Optic Gaming team that was there previously is now. So yeah, I don't know. That's something that we need to follow up on with people who are a little more in the know and knowledgeable about what's going on in the competitive scene right now. But yes, that is something that did happen.
I watch it, but I don't know enough to have an opinion. I think it's cool. It's fun to watch and see people compete.
Yeah, and it's actually going on right now too. While we're recording this, the first week of season 2 is actually going on. So, but yeah, that's going to be it for this week. I'm going to do a quick roll on people that are in here to give away the Halo lanyard. Looks like we have basically three who are eligible or don't have it already. Because half of the people in here already have it, that I am definitely sure of. So I'm going to roll that. I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast yet. I think I mentioned this before we actually started recording, but Pins Halo has been subscribed to our Twitch channel for a entire year. So thank you for your support. Really appreciate it. I know I've been saying that we would get the Twitch emotes up at some point. Yeah, still working on that. the graphics guy that we have, he said he doesn't really do that kind of like, it's not 8-bit graphics, but it's like that small, tiny graphic stuff. So I had one that was that fit the like tiny icon parameters, but apparently for the emotes now in Twitch, you have to have three different sizes. So I gotta make the different sizes. So that'll happen at some point down the road. But Confal 2, I think you're still kind of chatting here. You, sir, have won the Halo 2 lanyard. Halo Wars 2 lanyard, sorry. Just type in the chat to verify that you won it, and then shoot me a DM on Twitch, or shoot a DM to the Podtacular on Twitch. Yep, he said yay, so I'm guessing that means yes, he wants it. So yeah, shoot a Twitch DM to the Podtacular channel with your name and address, and we'll get that shipped off. So congratulations.
Congrats.
We'll be handing out some more stuff over the coming weeks. Unishek had a stack of posters that he was able to salvage from when they moved out of the Kirkland office, and he was gracious enough to give me them to hand out to the community. So we'll be doing some giveaways here within the next couple of months. And we don't just have posters. We have some other things as well that we'll be giving out, and some cool stuff around the Christmas time frame. Still have two limited collector's editions of Halo 5 to give out, which hopefully we'll do at some point, because they're taking up some major space in my closet that I could really, I could really take back.
How many?
Two.
Yeah, that's a lot of space taking up right there.
So I originally bought them when they were $100 on Amazon, and now they're $80 on Amazon.
Is that before the discount, Prime discount?
Well, no, this was during Christmas, so the pre-order discount wasn't a thing anymore, because the discount only is for pre-orders.
I forget about that. I'm used to, because I usually buy stuff from Best Buy for the with the Gamers Club, and it's like the same always.
That will wrap it up for the show tonight. Thank you, South, for coming on and kind of being our last minute addition to the show. It was great to have you on, and I hope people will get to. I mean, I'm assuming some people have already played with you, and if people haven't really played with you before, now you can put the name to the face, or the voice to the name, I guess, technically.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome being on. I enjoyed it.
Cool. So make sure you check us out on all of our social platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitch, and Discord. We've been advertising that a little bit more recently. If you haven't joined us already, you can join our Discord chat. That's kind of where we chat during the day, and I'll post a couple of things there as well. But you can head on over to podtacular.com/whatever, and if we have it, it'll redirect you towards it. But yeah, we have another episode of Achieving Halo that should be coming out tomorrow, I think, if GT said he uploaded it earlier in the week, and I just need to go get the thumbnail made and put up on YouTube for it to be posted. So we have another episode of Achieving Halo due to come out. We also have Fraggin' Fridays with Godzilla T, so he will be in the hot seat tomorrow to host that. He just couldn't be here tonight, but he will be available tomorrow, so you can get some custom games in with him. And we are still doing that on Xbox One, so make sure that you hit him up over there. Again, he's Godzilla T on Xbox. Or no, Godzilla. Yeah, Godzilla T on Xbox. And make sure you check him out over there. They do customs, matchmaking, depending on the lobby size and all that stuff. So, no, there is no Podtacular MySpace, Eric Kibu. Sorry. it's just no. Is
MySpace even around anymore?
Yeah, it technically is.
That's so strange.
I know, right? Anyways, so make sure you check us out there. Make sure you come play with Godzilla T tomorrow if you are able to. That's open to everybody. Our Spartan company unlocked the Achilles armor just before we went out to PAX. So congratulations to everyone who put in the effort to get that. And thank you for everyone's support. We move on towards the helmet, which will be forever. So thank you to everyone who has joined the company and was a part of that effort of us getting the armor. Really appreciate the effort that you guys put in. And I'd just like to encourage everyone again, if you're part of the Spartan company and you're on to play for a good duration amount of time, invite some people from the company. Get them in there to play with you, whether it's customs or matchmaking or campaign or whatever. Get some people in there and play together. That's what the company is there for. I mean, also in Discord, if you want to play with people, hop in there and get some people to play with. Everyone who's in the Discord that's part of the Spartan company has a special role in there. If you join the Discord and if your gamertag doesn't match your username in Discord, just send me a message on over Xbox and put in your Discord username, and then I'll promote you to the appropriate role so you can get your role assignment in there for the company. Lastly, before we wrap this up, I just want to remind everyone to check out the Podcast Network. It is our network of gaming-specific podcasts, which includes Critzcast, Work in Progress, How to Murder Time, Guardian Radio, and The Learning Cliff. Critzcast, Guardian Radio, and The Learning Cliff, of which are the game-specific ones, which cover Team Fortress 2, Destiny, and EVE Online. So make sure you check those out. We also have some other cool Halo partners for you to check out. We also have Toa Freak on this coming weekend, who's Halo Canon. And then we have SpartaCat, I think. I don't think he said he was for sure coming on, but hopefully he will be on, and he's from Ultimate Halo. So I just kind of want to preemptively put those out there since they will be on with us this weekend. I'm not sure if we're going to record that one live or not. If we do, I'll tweet it out. But if you don't hear anything, don't be surprised of us just kind of recording it. But just kind of wanted to throw those out there since we'll have them on this weekend. So make sure you check out those two communities as well. South, thanks again for joining us on the podcast. We hope to see you on here pretty soon. And for everyone listening at home, thank you for downloading us via iTunes or through the website or however you download the show. And keep on forging.